You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. I received a piece of work that says the following: income tax strategies in retirement structuring. Ruan Briet from Brenthurst Wealth is with me. Now, Ruan, there's three things I want to tell you, or a couple of things I want to ask you, and one thing I want to tell you. What I want to tell you is that this is the sort of subject that you've got to go slowly with me anyway, because it sounds complicated just from the headline. The second thing is, as a question, is this a problem? Or second question, is it a problem that investors make it a problem? Which of the two?
Oh, yes, Lindsay, thanks for having me. Yes, and you're 100% right. This is a very technical, or could become a very technical topic to unpack. Yes, I don't think it's a problem. Instead, I would regard the whole Section 10C strategy more as a valuable estate planning tool, of course, if used correctly at that as well. So obviously there's a lot of DIY investors out there, people making use of, we had the previous discussion of passives versus active, so taking out the middleman, the fund manager, and with the use of new IA tools these days, the more you'll find that more and more people want to do investing themselves. But obviously, investments, like I always say, is there's more to investments than just the return figure on your portfolio, which is what everyone obviously always looks at. I'm not saying that's not important, but I think there's other aspects of investments, especially when you look at high net worth clients, that comes into play, such as tax planning, estate planning, succession planning, all those kind of things, than just focusing on performances and fees. And I think this is where something like this comes in, and where the value of a professional person is really seen or becomes visible.
Yeah, this is exactly where a financial advisor comes in. And the reason I mentioned problem, let me just track back a bit here, is because the beginning of your article says one of the most misunderstood corners of SA's retirement legislation is what happens when an investor contributes more to a retirement fund than they are allowed to. That's where you go on to say where the problem starts. So there is obviously a problem there, and you've obviously come across problems with clients not understanding that. So what's the beginning of the problem? Start there, if you would.
Yes, and I think that's pretty basic, Lindsay, for purpose of this discussion, is that there's obviously certain rules and regulations in terms of the Pension Funds Act, and including underneath that umbrella falls something like a retirement annuity, which is just one of the vehicles. I think that's important to clarify. It's just one of the vehicles that a individual in South Africa, in terms of our tax law, can make use of to build up their portfolio over time for retirement. And like I say, once again, there's more to the discussion than just returns. I think that's where tax planning and estate planning especially becomes quite important. So by making use of the retirement annuity, you not only invest assets in a tax efficient structure whereby there's no tax on the growth of any of these funds, but also you take these funds out of your dutiable estate as a South African investor, whereby you will be paying 20-25% estate duty on the value of your assets when you pass away. And I think this is where a retirement annuity becomes valuable, and more so also perhaps over contribution in terms of your retirement annuity. So the back to your question is that the law or retirement planning rules state that you can contribute up to 430,000 rand per annum to a retirement annuity. And I think that's where the misconception lies, is that you could contribute any amount you like to a retirement annuity in a given tax year, up to there's no limit. The only limit on the 430,000 rand is the limit that you can get in terms of your tax benefit in that year of assessment. Now, any contribution over and above your qualified tax deduction for that year will remain in your retirement annuity as a over contribution. So that could be used for a subsequent year's tax returns, or if you could, for example, make a contribution every single year and you carry that excess contribution of the previous year over, that could be used in retirement to offset retirement income from the resultant living annuity, the income in terms of tax purposes.
So when people see the 430,000, they think, that's it, 430,000, I've reached my limit, I can't do any more. They've got that sum in their head. Like, for example, they might have the contribution to a TFSA sum in their head, which is true. You can't go above a certain amount when it comes to tax-free savings. But with this, in this case, the 430,000 is just a number. You can go above it.
That's 100% right. So they've, every structure that you could bring into your portfolio works according to certain rules and regulations, whether it's contribution limits, the tax management of the portfolio or the structure, etc. So this is where it really differs. So a tax-free savings structure, for example, plays a completely different role but in both phases, where you first accumulate funds and then in retirement where you use those funds. So and every single one of those structures will be utilized differently in your portfolio. The one has got set rules in terms of contributions, and the other one has got less so. But there's a misconception in that the amount that you can contribute towards an RA and what the benefits is that you will get by doing so.
In my introduction, I said you'd have to go really slowly with me because it could become a very complex subject. And I always, when I'm faced with a complex subject and I'm interviewing one of you or your fellow experts, I ask for an example. Do you have an example of how it works?
Yes, I do have an example that I could share, Lindsay. It's also written in the article, but for clarity purposes, so, for example, a scenario I've used is that, for example, John retires from a pension fund and he elects to take a lump sum of 2.5 million rand. Now, normally, when an investor retires, you've got a lump sum, a tax-free lump sum that you could take at the amount of 550,000 rand. And that's your lifetime with a lump sum amount. So if you've made any prior lump sum withdrawals, that will be taken into consideration to calculate your 550,000 rand tax free lump sum. So in this case, John retires with a 2.5 million rand lump sum that he wants to take, and the balance of the benefit is invested in a living annuity. So John has about 4 million rand of previously disallowed contributions still. So in terms of the retirement fund lump sum, there will be of the 4 million rand disallowed contributions, 2.5 million rand, the lump sum that he takes now, will be deducted from his previously disallowed contributions. So at the end of the day, he will still have remaining balance of 1.5 million rand in disallowed contributions, of which he can then offset his income in subsequent years to the value of 1.5 million rand. Now, also note importantly that this will be deducted against or offset against gross income and not net income, which means that you will use that benefit very quicker. Now, and another important caveat to note here is that in a case where you take a lump sum on retirement, in this case, John, that takes 2.5 million rand, and you've got excess contributions, where I mentioned that John has 4 million rand in excess contributions, you will first make use of your excess contributions and you will sort of forfeit your 550,000 rand tax-free lump sum. So the 1.5 million rand lump sum or disallowed contributions that John still has will now be offset in subsequent years in terms of income. So, for example, if John earns annuity income of 900,000 rand, in the first year of income, the full 900,000 rand will be exempted via 10C exemptions. So there will be zero taxable annuity income. He will have a remaining disallowed contribution of 600,000 rand. So in the following year, his taxable annuity income would be 300,000 rand.
So what Section 10C essentially does then, any surplus contributions are immediately become tax efficient. That's the why that we do it. But what sort of person should be doing it?
That's a very good question. That's something we obviously get also quite often. The Section 10C, if you think about it, the reason or the value behind it lies in the tax management of the funds and how it falls into or out of your estate. So normally for clients with high level of allocation of their portfolio to discretionary funds, such as cash and share portfolios, etc., this is a very valuable tool to make use of, especially considering efficient succession planning. Remember that the value of your retirement funds fall outside of your estate, and you are able to nominate beneficiaries on those funds. So those funds become immediately available for your beneficiaries. And also in the case where you, for argument's sake, let's say you pass away with excess contributions in your RA or on your living annuity still in place, that value of those remaining excess contributions will also fall outside of your estate should the beneficiary of your annuity decide to continue with the annuity. So if the beneficiary continues with the annuity, the value of the excess contributions remain in place and falls outside of the estate of the investor. If the beneficiary decides to cash out the annuity, then the excess contributions will be included in the investor's estate that passed away. But okay. Normally for clients with high levels of cash or discretionary assets compared to their retirement funds, this is a very valuable tool. We see this often for business owners that sells their businesses, or people earning high salaries and it's got very a large exposure to discretionary savings as opposed to retirement savings.
I think this whole chat that we've just had is a great illustration of the fact that it's not just about making money. And you said that at the beginning. You can make a lot of money, but if you use that money incorrectly within a portfolio, then you lose a lot of the benefits through, you know, being tax inefficient, if you like. And this is another example of why you need a financial advisor to structure your portfolio accordingly. Lots of people can make money. Not a lot of people can make that money work for them super efficiently. I think that's the message here.
Yes, most definitely, Lindsay. And I think that's what I mentioned and referred to earlier, is that you could focus on your returns and you could be lucky by generating proper returns above whatever benchmark you would like to measure it against. But if your portfolio is not structured correctly, you will leak a very large part of your portfolio in taxes back to the receiver of income. So if you are not very clever and astute as to how you structure your portfolio, your returns might all be, in a certain sense, in vain.
Very good. Well explained. Even I understood that, Ruan. Thank you very much for your time. Ruan Breed is a wealth manager at Brentos Wealth Stellenbosch. If you need to contact him about any of the sort of technical issues he's just well explained, you can do so by going to ruan@brentoswealth.co.za. Ruan, thanks very much for your time again. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brentos Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.